for a country to which I've never been before. There's a few. Time won't matter anymore. You'll all land. I'm longing for you, and someday on the outside. Faith will end in sight. I've just a few more days to labor, then I will take my heavenly flight.
Wasn't homesick for Beulah Land before, I sure am now. Thank you all. That was beautiful. At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. How are you all doing this morning? Good? Easy. All right. We're going to see what's in the bag. Y'all ready? A Pokemon card. How do you pronounce that name there? Avalug? Is that right? Avalug? Oh. We'll just pronounce it like it sounds. Avalug. All right, so what do you do with these things? Is this a game?
You're supposed to have a lot of cards.
Yeah, you play this game, and you collect the cards, right? And then you play with somebody else, right? How many of us like to play games? Not you? Liar, liar, pants on fire. I love to play games, and the great thing about card games... is you get to play with a group of people and you get to have fun with others. And when we come together every Sunday morning, we come together to have fun, right? And to worship and to be together and to be reminded of all the things that Jesus has done for us through the mighty Avalug sometimes. Now, is this a powerful card or can he get beat pretty easily? So he's kind of a weak player. If you get a deluxe, man, you guys know a whole lot about this. Okay, all right, well, there you go. I'm learning a whole lot this morning about Pokemon cards. So anyway, so I want us to remember every day, all the time, we have the opportunity to have fun. We have the opportunity to play games. We have an opportunity to recognize God's grace in our lives, and he makes these games. He made us to have fun, and so I want us to remember that. All right, Joseph, who do you want to have the bag this week? William? All right, there you go. All right, so we're going to pray, and then you all can be dismissed to Children's Church, all right? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and your grace. We thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity we have to be together, to play together, to have fun together. We pray that when we gather, we may be reminded of all the joy that you give us. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you guys can go to Children's Church. This morning, we are looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We'll be looking at all of chapter 11. It's only those 10 verses long. And just to remind us all, to get us up to speed, if we've maybe missed a few weeks or something, we're in the midst of our stewardship campaign, and all of God's people said, "Arg," right? Now, amen. We are in the midst of that, and today we'll have the opportunity to bring our pledge cards forward, our service commitment forms. But as we've been spending this month together in Ecclesiastes, what we've been doing is considering the word hevel, H-E-V-E-L, and this word means vapor or smoke. It means enigma or paradox, and we typically translate the word pointless or meaningless in our scripture and our language, and that's really not the best translation that we have. And we've considered the promises that we make. We've considered money. We've reminded ourselves and been told and reminded by the teacher that we were made to worship. Last week, if you'll remember, we talked about overcomplicating things, right, and how it's important that we simplify our lives. And today we're going to continue to consider the words of the teacher, and we'll close our time in Ecclesiastes with our topic today. So Ecclesiastes chapter 11 says this, "Hear now the word of our Lord. Send your bread out on the water, because in the course of time you may find it again. Give a portion to seven people, even to eight. You don't know what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds fill up, they will empty out rain on the earth. If a tree falls, whether to the south or to the north, whether wherever it falls, there it will lie. Those who watch the wind blow will never sow, and those who observe the clouds will never reap. Just as you don't understand what the life breath does in the fetus inside a pregnant woman's womb, so you can't understand the work of God, who makes everything happen. Scatter your seed in the morning, and in the evening don't be idle, because you don't know which will succeed, this one or that, or whether both will be equally good. Sweet is the light, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. Even those who live many years should take pleasure in them all, but they should be mindful that there will also be many dark days. Everything that happens is hevel. Rejoice, young person, while you are young. Your heart should make you happy in your prime. Follow your heart's inclinations, and whatever your eyes see. But know this, God will call you to account for all of these things. Remove anxiety from your heart. Banish pain from your body, because youth and the dawn of life are Hevel too. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Lord, we thank you again for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We pray that you would be with the words you have given me. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand, and may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. This passage we have here in chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes, the teacher is closing up all the things that he's been saying, and he has a few words left in chapter 12 before the author takes back over. But he's basically telling us here to take risks, because life is short. Now, how many of us like to take risks? Yeah, me neither. That makes me nervous, right? This word makes us nervous. Now, I stand before you as someone who has never broken a bone in his body. That's not because I'm some physical specimen, or I may be, but I don't think I am. It's not because I have just mastered some skill or something like that. I don't take a lot of physical risks. I don't like pain. Pain and I don't get along. I try to avoid pain at all costs. And so there are a lot of things maybe I've missed out on, but I'm like, you know what? I don't want to get hurt, because I'm a whiner. You can ask Abby. I'm a whiner when I get hurt. Can I get an amen, sister? Preach it. Bring it on. So I want us to breathe easy this morning, because again, this idea of taking risks makes us nervous. But breathe easy, because I believe that the teacher, while he's telling us to take risks, is really telling us to take calculated risks. He doesn't want us to just do whatever we feel like we need to do, but sometimes we need to live on the edge. Sometimes we need to trust in God and get close. Take a risk. Step out in faith, if you will. And I think that this advice is best understood, not standing on its own, but of course we want to consider everything the teacher has been telling us up to this point, right? If we leave out of here and all you've heard me say is take risks and live on the edge, you've missed everything completely, right? We've missed the teaching of this book. We've missed the point of the sermon. But we need to understand everything in light of what has been said up to this point. And there are two primary reasons why we should take risks from time to time that the teacher kind of talks to us about. The first reason is found in verses 1 through 3 of this passage. The teacher reminds us that there are conditions in life that are beyond our control. Now, I know that may sound surprising to some of us, but there are things in this world that are beyond our control. You and I both know that life happens regardless of our careful planning or the scrupulous contingencies that we may put into place. Anyone ever have something go differently than you thought? As many of you know, I've shared this before. I plan my sermons out a year in advance, and I work on this, and every October I'll start working on next year. This coming October, I'll be working on next year. And actually, this whole sermon series is one of those kind of unplanned things that was kind of out of my control, but it's been very interesting. So our finance team decided last year that we wanted to do the stewardship campaign a little earlier. We wanted to do it in August. That would give us time in September and October to look over that and figure out an appropriate budget, right? That's what we decided to do. And I had already scheduled my sermons for the stewardship campaign in October. And so when we made that decision, which was fine with me, I started to look back, because I kind of scrapped everything I had in October, and I was like, well, let's see what, and I was going to just move it over to August. And when I found what I had scheduled in August to be Ecclesiastes, I started looking at the passages that I had kind of found. And I started to see how interesting it was that they just seemed to fit with this idea of stewardship, kind of in a, maybe a different way than we maybe have expected. But I was just amazed at how it all kind of tied in. And so I say all that to say that while we can make plans, we need to know that from time to time, those things will need to change. We need to adapt. And again, while I plan my sermons out, they are just working documents at this point. Nothing is set in stone until I come up here and do my best. There is careful planning that we often take, even though we know most things are out of our control. And he gives us some examples of some things to help us understand often our futile attempt to control things, to control life. He says in verse 1, throw some bread out on the water because you may find it again. Has anyone ever done this? Me neither. I started to think back to when I was a little kid, and we would go and feed the ducks, right? And we'd throw bread out on the water. And so I did a little research because that just seemed odd to me. And what this is, it's alluding to an annual festival that the people in this time would do. They would take some bread and they would throw it out on the water as a grain offering, hoping that the gods would see this offering and they would return on them, you know, a hundredfold on their harvest for the coming year. And it was this desire to please the gods so that the gods would do something for them. And then he tells us to give a portion to 7 or even to 8 people because you simply don't know what might happen. And it seems as if the teacher is telling us we need to diversify our investments. Don't keep everything in one spot, right? Something happens and you've lost it all, but maybe you give it out and you hand it out. Maybe he's telling us that you help somebody out in the hopes that one day if you are in trouble, they will then help you. So help out 7 people because maybe when times are tough on your end, they'll help you out. Maybe even 8. Maybe just you got another contingency just in case those other 7 forget. And he goes on to say after this, however wise or unwise your actions, whether this is the best thing you could do or the worst thing you could do, at the end of the day, we have no idea what the outcome is going to be. We have no idea if it's going to work or not. And then he goes on to say, when clouds fill up, they'll empty rain on the earth. If a tree falls, there it will lie. And he's talking just about the natural cycle of things. Trees grow, they die, they fall over. If a tree falls in the woods and no one's there to hear it, right? Does it make a sound? If a man states an opinion and no woman is around to hear it, is he still wrong? Some of these things we just will never know. He's talking about the natural cycles, the natural consequences of life. And the teacher isn't trying to frighten us. He's not trying to cause us panic. But remember, if you will, the first week we looked at this, he's trying to keep us grounded in reality. Yes, we need to have faith. Yes, we need to take risks. But we need to know that life is going to happen. The good, the bad, and everything in between. And because most of the conditions in life are beyond our control, he gives us a little more advice. And he tells us now in verses 4-6, we're basically told that we should take life as it is and not wait for the ideal conditions to occur before we act. Now, how many of us in here, when we're setting out to do something, want to succeed in that endeavor? All of us. Nobody sets out to fail. And he's telling us that we need to take life as it is and not wait for the ideal conditions to act because we know that it is not possible nor practical to wait until everything is the way it needs to be before we do something, right? A great example of this, a few months ago, the men decided we were going to go and we were going to trim the hedges around the church. And I showed up, and they hand me these hedge trimmers, just assuming I know what I'm doing with hedge trimmers. Long story short, we bought some new hedges, and they look great. They handed me these hedge trimmers, and you know, I'm not the brightest crayon in the box, but I get the concept, right? We gotta trim these down a little. We want to make them a nice shape and all this stuff, and you know, hopefully I don't cut something off that can't grow back. And so I get to going on this. I have no idea what I'm doing. I think they quickly realized that because they came to my aid. But I didn't stop to, I didn't say, well, let me just watch you for a couple hours and make sure I know how this works. I didn't say, well, you know, I don't know if it's God's will for me to do this. It was not, but that's all right. I didn't give all these excuses. I just took it and went. And I was like, you know what? At the end of the day, they're going to grow back, regardless of what I do. And let's just get to getting. The best teacher is what? Experience. Doing something. How many of us this morning are sitting here, and we've just always been sitting here, waiting for the ideal condition to occur where we'll fill out one of these, or we'll fill out a service card? Well, preacher, I'll do that when the time's right. Well, I can guarantee you the time will never be probably ideal. But I can guarantee you if God is calling you to do something and you have the opportunity to do it, you're going to be making whatever is unideal ideal. If it was all ideal to begin with, we wouldn't need your help, right? We wouldn't need to do anything. We know by faith in Jesus that we will always have what we need. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to us. Jesus reminds us at the end of the Gospel of John that he's going to send the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to advocate for us, to help us, to assure us that regardless of where we find ourselves in life, salvation is ours for the taking. Really, the only assurance that God offers in the Scriptures is assurance of our salvation. It's really the only thing we can be assured of is that Christ has come, he's died, he's risen, he's ascended, and he will come again. And we can be assured of that. We can be assured of the love that God has for us and the opportunity we have to show him love as well. And I think it's this assurance that will begin to give us control of those things which before were uncontrollable. When we know that Jesus loves us, we will throw our bread out on the water as an act of thanksgiving rather than as a way of trying to curry favor with God. How many of us, when we give, we're hoping that God sees it so that he'll love us maybe just a little bit more? You know, we're expecting that when we pass, well, Lord, here's all that I've given. You know, are you going to let me in, right? There's that mindset, unfortunately, that we've got to buy our way into God's love. It's just our mindset from time to time. But when we know of the assurance of the salvation we have in Christ, all that we give is an offering of thanks for what has been freely given to us. And so we can cast the bread out, knowing that God has already redeemed it. He has already set things right. And there's a sense of joyfulness in that giving. When we have that assurance of salvation, we give to 7 people, maybe to 8. Not for contingencies in case something goes wrong, but we want to pay God's grace forward. We have received, and so we want to give as we have received. And we want to help 7 people, maybe even 8. If you get to 8, please don't stop. Keep helping. Keep paying that forward. When the clouds fill and when the rain begins to fall, maybe we can dance and reaffirm our baptismal covenant. The prayers are still good, don't worry. When we fall, when we fail, and we know that we will fall, we know that we will fail, we will not simply lie there like a tree in the middle of the woods because we know that there are others around us who will help pick us up, who will help dust us off, and who will help us to continue to move forward. When we have the assurance of God's grace in Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, the uncontrollable begins to seem well within our control. Life isn't pointless. It isn't meaningless. And it isn't a striving after the wind. It is an opportunity to worship and to offer all of who we are to God, because he has offered all of who he is in Jesus Christ to us. We celebrate this day the assurance of our salvation in Jesus Christ. We don't know, and indeed we can't know, what tomorrow may bring. But today, we have the opportunity to decide to serve the Lord with all of who we are, with all that he has given to us. As we offer our pledge cards, as we fill out these service forms to give of our gifts and our talents and service, it's a way for us to take control of our lives back in the assurance of our salvation. I don't know about you, but when I have a plan, whether it comes to fruition or not, I feel better about moving. And there's freedom in that plan. There's freedom in those structures that we tend to set up. And today, we offer you freedom. Jesus offers you freedom. And we have an opportunity to take back control of our finances, of our time, our service, our skills. We have the opportunity to do that. And I want us to consider that today as we have the opportunity to bring these forward and to place them in the basket here in a few moments. Let us know that life isn't pointless. It isn't meaningless. Yes, there are paradoxes. Yes, there are times where we will grapple for understanding and for truth, but may we know and may we be assured this day that Jesus Christ is our Lord, our Savior, our King, and that he will indeed come again. And we have opportunities each and every day to thank him for that. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, for your love and for your grace, for all that you do for us, for your mercies, which are new each day. Give us freedom. Give us salvation. Make us a joyful people. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.